All right, well, today we're in the fourth and final week of our series, Spirit People, and I hope that you've enjoyed this series so far if you've been tracking with us. But to remind us of where we've been so far, Jesus said it would be better for us that he go away, because if he went away, we would no longer experience the Son of God in front of us or the Son of God beside us, but we would have the Spirit of God dwelling and living inside of us, within each of us, and that is a pretty amazing thing to think about. And then after he had died on the cross and rose from the dead, he breathed life into his followers and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So if you're following Jesus and we desire the Holy Spirit of God, we've got it. Because Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into our lives, into us who follow him. And then we said that as the Spirit of God works in us, eventually something unmistakable flows out of us and changes everything for us. And so we're asking the question, what is it that the Holy Spirit is doing in us that will eventually flow out of us and change everything for us? And we've seen that the Spirit of God, a couple weeks ago, we looked at the idea that the Spirit of God brings comfort and conviction. Comfort to make us stronger for the uncomfortable of life, and conviction to make us better at life with God and at life itself. And then we saw last week that the Spirit works to transform us into something specific, that the Spirit wants to make us more like Jesus. Wants to transform us so we become more and more like Jesus. We said that the fruit of the Spirit is a life that looks like the Son, that we would end up looking like Jesus, that the Spirit of God works to make us more like Jesus. And as we get better at showing Jesus, the Spirit also makes us better at sharing Jesus with those around us. Now today, we're going to finish out our series together by talking about spiritual gifts and the purpose of our spiritual gifts, because the Holy Spirit works to empower each of us through the giving of spiritual gifts. Now, if you have no context for what a spiritual gift is, let me start today by helping us see the difference between a spiritual gift and another type of gift that we're all very familiar with. It's what I would call natural gifts. It's what I call natural gifts. All of us have some natural gifts and understand like what that means. Some of us have the gift of height. Some of you have the physical gift of speed. Some of you are faster readers than other people. Some of you can really sing or play an instrument. Some of you have a great ability for building things and understanding how things come together. Some of you can really bake. Like they're physical gifts, they're natural gifts. And it might be genetics. It might be something that you were taught from a young age. It might be something that was modeled for you. It might be something that you worked hard to develop. But it's something in the physical realm for which you have a high level ability, and you probably don't have to work too hard to think about or work too hard to explain where that gift came from or how it was developed. And we should be grateful to God for our natural gifts and be willing to use those in ministry. A natural gift is still a God-given gift, whether it's a genetic thing or whether it's something that you worked hard to develop. A natural gift is still a gift from God, and it's something that we surrender to God. The difference between a natural gift and a spiritual gift is that a spiritual gift is kind of like that, except it's in the spiritual side of things. And while a lot of times when it comes to physical gifts, you kind of know where it came from or how it developed, when it comes to our spiritual gifts, you may have no real explanation of like where it came from, except that the gift seems to have one source, that it developed through the work of the Holy Spirit. He decides the gifts. He gives the gifts. He stirs up the gifts in us. And if we're paying attention, he helps as we develop and mature in whatever it is that we may find our gifting in. In fact, the Spirit may actually give you a spiritual gift that actually seems completely contrary to what would be completely explainable in the natural. Like, let me give you a possible example. Maybe you grew up in a family that was incredibly sarcastic and had really, really high standards. And so there was laughter at jokes, but the jokes always seemed to come with a bit of pain, and you've never really felt encouraged. And you just knew you'd be torn down if you failed. Maybe that's the family that you grew up in. And so in the natural, it would make sense for you to lean in that direction and for that to flow out of you naturally. But for some unexplainable reason, as you follow Jesus, you have become a person who encourages others with an almost supernatural gift of encouragement. That didn't happen naturally, and it didn't happen through your effort. It happened because the Spirit of God gave you a gift of encouragement. Or maybe you spent a lot of time in your 20s around people who just never seemed to connect the dots between their choices and their outcomes or their consequences. And because of the time that you spent with them, that's who you naturally should be as well. But for some reason, as you began to follow Jesus, you have this almost prophetic ability to know how today's choices lead to down the road, like what today's choices will actually lead to as you go forward in life. And you have this sense of discernment about what things you need to avoid and what you need to lean into today. In the natural, that gift doesn't make sense. It's a gift that can only be explained as originating from the Spirit of God at work in you. That's the difference between a natural and a spiritual gift. But here, so spiritual gifts are good. Natural gifts are good. Spiritual gifts are good. Whatever gifts we receive from God are good. They are for our good, and they're for the good of other people around us. But here's the problem I've seen. And if you've been around church for any amount of time, especially like if you've been around a gifts, a church that emphasized the gifts of the Spirit, you've probably seen this as well. Us people, we have we really have a tendency to think that our spiritual gift or our spiritual gifts are all about us. Like we think their gifts are for our benefit, or we think our gifts are given to us because we're so good, or we think, well, I have a pretty awesome spiritual gift that makes me an elite Christian and I don't have to listen to or be coached by or submit to the leadership of anyone or anything. Like I've seen people who had the gift of speaking in tongues who had no concept of the idea that there's a time and a place in the body of Christ. For them, it was ultimately more about their goosebumps than about the effectiveness of the body of Christ. I've seen people who had the gift of encouragement and they were really strong in that area, but they didn't know how to sit with people who were grieving. They just knew their gift. And so they brought damage by trying to use their gift in a time and place that their gift wasn't what was needed. Maybe you've seen that as well. I've seen people who believe themselves to have a prophetic gift, and because they believe that they were a prophet, they could never be wrong, and they didn't need anyone's correction or leadership or guidance in their life and leadership, because after all, God speaks to them, and if God wanted to say something to them, he'd say it directly to them. He wouldn't have to go through anybody else. And conversely, I've seen people who are tremendously gifted in one area, but they wanted a gift that someone else had, or they wanted another gift that they didn't seem to have. And since they didn't have the gifts that they wanted, they sat in pity and cried about not having any gifts and neglected the gifts that God had given them. See, the problem is we can all get pretty easily self-centered and selfish when it comes to our spiritual gifts, thinking they're for us and because of us and about us. And unfortunately, if we make spiritual gifts for us, because of us, and about us, the work that God wants to do will end with us. It'll end with us. And so I just have a few reminders here today as we talk about the Holy Spirit, as we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that God is developing in us through the work of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that the Spirit has decided to give us and to bring to life in us. I just have a few reminders as we talk about this. Up front, I want to hit these thoughts today. Number one is that your gift is given to you, but it's not given for you. Okay, God gives you and I spiritual gifts, but the gifts are not for our benefit. Our gifts are always for the benefit of people around us. If I have the gift of encouraging and I go around using it in times and places where it doesn't help anyone, but actually makes people feel like they're not heard or understood, I've used my gift, but I've used my gift in a way that's all about me. It hasn't been used for its purposes because the gift wasn't for me, it's for others. It's for the benefit of someone else. It's to build someone else. It's to inspire someone else. It's to bring healing and wholeness to someone else. It's to help someone else know that God is with them, sees them, and has a plan for them. The gift is given to you so that you can use your gift for the good of someone else. It's given to you, but it's not for you. And here's another thing I think it's really important to remember. The gift involves you, but it's not about you. The gift involves you. It flows through you. God has given you a gift, not so you can point others to you, but so that you can point others to him. Like, God doesn't give a gift of teaching so people can look at you and go, wow, what a great teacher that person is. Like, what a great teacher they are. Like, what did you see them teach? Like, the gift is given to you so that through you, people can go, wow, what a great God. If you have a gift of healing, we don't heal so people can go, wow, that lady healed me. We serve and operate in a way to help people say, wow, God healed me. And he used this person, but God was the one who did the healing. Our gift is given, our gift isn't given so people can be drawn to us, but so that people can be drawn and pointed to God. In other words, we aren't given a gift so we can step on a pedestal. We're given a gift so we can effectively serve and point people to Jesus. And then one final thing, that your gift is given to you, but it's not given because of you. And in other words, you haven't earned that gift. That's what makes it a gift. It's not because we earn it. And by the way, you can't earn a different one. That whatever you've been gifted by God is what you've been gifted by God. We can't go like, oh, well, I got the gift of I got the gift of service, I got the gift of faith, but I really wanted the gift of prophecy. Maybe if I try harder, maybe if I work harder, maybe if I spend, you know, 7 hours a day with Jesus, maybe Jesus will give me the gift that I really want. We're given, gifts are given to you, but they're not given because of you, meaning you can't earn it. There's nothing about deserving it. Gifts are never about your goodness. They're about the goodness of God, and they're about the needs of the church and the world and what God wants to do in you so he can do something through you. Your gift is given to you, but it's not given because of you. And so here's the thing. With all of that as the background, now we get to lean into and go, okay, if it's given to me, but it's not because of me, if it's given to me, but it's not about me, if it's given to me, but it's not for me, that frees me up to receive from God whatever it is that, if I get that heart right, that it's given to me, it works through me, it involves me, but it's not about me, it's not for me, it's not because of me. That frees me up to have open hands to receive from God whatever God wants to put in my hands. And it frees you up to receive from God whatever God wants to put in your hands so that he can do through your open hands exactly what he wants to do and what he wants to accomplish in you and through you. So with that said, today we get to lean in with open hands to receive from God what God wants to do through his Holy Spirit at work in us and the gifts that he wants to use through our lives. And if you're like, well, what are the gifts of the Spirit? The amazing thing about our New Testament is that in our New Testament, we have actually three separate lists of gifts of the Spirit that are written by the exact same person. So this isn't like, oh, Paul wrote one and Peter wrote one and James wrote one. We have to figure out which one we pick. Paul, actually writing to the Corinthian church, writing to the Roman church, writing to the church in Ephesus, he writes these lists and you go, well, wait a minute, those aren't the same list. That can't, like, why would he not just write one list and put it in the same different places? Because Paul knew that the gifts of the Spirit had an incredible variety. And so today we're going to look to these three different lists that Paul wrote to talk about the gifts of the Spirit that are at work within individual lives and at work within the church because of the work of the Spirit in us. In Romans chapter 12, he wrote this. He says, now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. He says, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. Would you say gifts? Wherever you are on the count of three, ready? One, two, three, gifts. He says, if prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving, with generosity. Leading, with diligence. Showing mercy, with cheerfulness. He says, here's the list. It's prophecy, it's service, it's teaching, it's exhorting, it's giving, it's leading, it's showing mercy. And whatever our gift is, we should steward it well, and we should make sure that we use it not for the good of us, but for the good of the body of Christ and for the good of those around us. He then gives us another list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Would you say Spirit on the count of three? One, two, three. Spirit. The gifts, they come from the Spirit. He says, there are different ministries, but the same Lord, and there are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. He says, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills. Now you might guess this from the way Paul is writing this. People thought the prophecy came from one Spirit, and tongues came from one Spirit, and wisdom came from another Spirit, and healing came from another Spirit. And Paul is writing this and giving this list to say, hey, when you see the Spirit of God working, it's the same Spirit through all of these gifts. It's one God, it's one Spirit, it's one ministry, it's one church, it's different activities, but the same God, the same Spirit bringing all of this to fruition in the life of the church through the life of individual believers. Then he says, all of you together, you're Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. He says no one person has all of the gifts That's why we need more people with more with gifts, that when we get the gifts that God has given all of us and we bring it all together, we're what we're supposed to be. And then he says in verse 31, he closes out the chapter, he says, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. It's an interesting thing. Paul gives that. Did you notice the Romans 12 list is different from the 1 Corinthians list? And then he gives an entirely different list in Ephesians chapter 4. He says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Now, I've mentioned this a number of times, that when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, churches sometimes, unfortunately, tend to get divided. And one area that churches get divided is between these lists. Some choose to embrace the Romans list as the ministry gifts and say these are the most valuable while diminishing the importance of 1 Corinthians. Other churches choose to lean into and value the 1 Corinthians list, the manifestation gifts, above the Romans gifts. And still others say that the real and most important gifts in the church are the Ephesians list. The roles of leadership are more important than the rest. That if as long as we got apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers, then that's what we really need in the church, and that'll solve all the problems. So here's a great question. In our church, which spiritual gifts are most important? In our church, which ones do you think are most important? The answer is yes. In our church, we don't want to lean too hard into the Romans 12 list that we forget 1 Corinthians 12, forget Ephesians 4, and we don't want to lean into Ephesians 4 so much that we forget Romans, and we don't want to lean into 1 Corinthians 12 at the expense of, like, in our church, we believe that God has given the gifts in Romans and the gifts in 1 Corinthians and the gifts in Ephesians 4 all for the work of the church. Which list matters most? Yes. Which gifts does God love to use in the lives of people following him? All of them. Like, no list is more important than the other, just as no gift is better than the other, which is to put it in a simple way, there is no such thing as a superior spiritual gift. There is no hierarchy of gifts. There's no, well, prophecy matters a lot and serving only matters a little bit. There's no tongues matter a lot and people who have a gift of faith don't seem to matter as much. There's no gift of teaching that matters a whole lot while the gift of pastoring does. Like, there is no some matter more. There's no such thing as a superior spiritual gift. There are simply spiritual gifts given by God, received with gratitude, and used to build the family of God that is the local and global church. That any gift that we're given, here's our response. Whatever it is, if it's from the Romans list, if it's from the 1 Corinthians list, if it's from the Ephesians list, it's given by God. So God, you have given the gift. This is what you want to have in my life so that you can do something through my life. I recognize it as given by God, and I receive it with gratitude. I'm not looking around at someone else's list thinking, man, I wish I had that gift. I'm not looking at someone else's gift going with jealousy, going like, man, I wish, man, they can do something that I can't do because of the Spirit in them, and I'm jealous of the Spirit of God. Like, I simply receive from God with gratitude for whatever God has given me, and I use that gift to build the family of God, the church of God, that is the local and global church. So in case you missed it, here is the entire list of spiritual gifts. Here's the entire list. It's prophecy, it's serving, it's teaching, it's encouraging, it's generosity, it's leadership, it's compassion, it's words of wisdom and knowledge, it's faith, it's healing, it's performing miracles, it's discernment, it's tongues and interpretation of tongues, it's apostolic leadership, it's pastoring, and it's evangelism. That is the complete list of the New Testament spiritual gifts. And what you notice there, I mean, there's a lot of different types of gifts there. There's prophecy, there's serving, there's teaching, there's encouraging. There's some that happen in front of people, and there's some that seem to happen in front of no one. There's generosity, which, you know, Scripture teaches us that we're not even supposed to see or talk about. There's compassion, there's words of wisdom and knowledge, there's faith, there's performing miracles, which would seem to draw a lot of attention. There's discernment, which doesn't seem to happen in front of a whole lot of people. There's all kinds of different gifts. And the simple truth is that there's an incredible diversity of gifts, and the church needs every one of them to be what we're called to be and do what we're called to do. Isn't that amazing? the diversity of gifts, the variety of gifts that God has given to the church through the Holy Spirit working in individuals and individuals coming together as the church to be what we're called to be and do what we're called to do, that every gift is valuable and every gift is necessary in the church. The ones that happen in front of people and the ones that don't seem to happen in front of anyone. The ones that seem to produce a lot of fruit in a lot of people and the ones that seem to produce very little fruit but matter a whole lot. That there's an incredible variety and we need them all in the body of Christ. And I love that Paul uses that analogy of the body of Christ over and over again in relationship to spiritual gifts, because in the body, every finger matters, every toe matters, every elbow matters, the knees matter, the neck matters, the ears matter, the nose matter, and the eyes matter, and the skin matters, and your inner organs matter, and the toenails matter, and the chin matters, and the teeth matter. And while you could possibly lose something and survive, the body would not be what it was originally intended to be without that thing. Like I remember when I was in college, I was in college downtown Minneapolis, and there was a university not too far away that did a lot of medical studies. And one of the medical studies that was so frequently talked about on campus, and I don't know if this was real. It was such a legendary, like well-known thing. It almost seemed like a legend more than something that actually happened. But I kind of, because of the people that I was around, I tend to believe that it actually did happen at some point. There was always talks about this medical study done at this university where they would pay people $50,000 for the right to cut off your pinky toe and sew it back on. Now, you're thinking, whoa, $50,000 to temporarily lose my pinky toe and get it put back on? How a pinky toe is not important at all, right? Pinky toe is not important at all. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you stubbed your pinky toe and then tried to walk? It's incredible. You're like something that seems as insignificant as a pinky toe. If it gets damaged, I mean, like, it affects us for the rest of our lives. And they said for $50,000, the reason you got paid $50,000 is that if they didn't completely connect everything right at the exact, like, so that your toe was exactly the same as it was before, you would have to completely learn to walk again. It would probably affect your knees and your back and your ankles for the rest of your life. That's how important something as seemingly insignificant as a pinky toe. So Paul says, in the body of Christ, there is nothing insignificant. There are no insignificant gifts. Every pinky toe, every tooth, every fingernail, every hair, like everything matters. And the church can't be what it's supposed to be. And the church can't do what it's supposed to do without the work of the Spirit through the gifts He gives to us as individuals. We need all the gifts within the church. For the church to be what it's called to be and do everything we're called to do, we need all of the gifts. We need men and women who understand their gifting from the Holy Spirit as well as their natural gifting, and then decide to use every bit of it to benefit others and to build the church. Now, I wish we had the time to unpack what each of those are and what they look like when they're used, but honestly, we don't have hours and hours and hours to do that. And it would really, truly probably take hours and hours to do that. And if I'm being really honest, there are some that I don't know that I understand well enough to teach on. But here's something I know we can all do. We can all become aware of our gifting. So in the chat along with this video, we're going to find a way to put a PDF that you can download and that you can take, and it will help you identify and become aware of your spiritual gift. Now, it may not be the perfect tool. It may not be the best tool, but it's a tool that we think is a good starting point to help us become aware of ways that God has gifted us through His Spirit for ministry and for life and for building up the church. And so here's what I know. That might sound like a small thing, but if you're not aware of your spiritual gifts or how God has gifted you for the benefit of the church, that is a big step. And once you identify the gifts or the gift that you have, you can study and you can learn about it. You can learn about them. But even more important, once you're aware of your gifts, you can start to really lean into them and use them for the benefit of others and for the building of the church. And I just want to say this. I would love to pastor a church full of people who are becoming aware of how God has gifted and shaped you for life and ministry. And here's why. In each letter that Paul wrote, where he included a list of spiritual gifts, Paul jumped immediately from giving his list of spiritual gifts to talking about love. I'm just going to read one example here, but in 1 Corinthians 13 and in Romans 12 and in Ephesians 4, Paul moves from talking about the gifts of the Spirit immediately to talking about the importance of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, one example of this, he says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." See, here's why I bring all that up in the light of the discussion about spiritual gifts. The final thing that the Holy Spirit does in that he's doing as he works in our lives is the Holy Spirit is always working to move us toward loving action. The Holy Spirit is always working to move us toward love. And love is not a feeling. Love is an action. What Paul was trying to make sure that we understand for as long as the church exists is that if we have the gifts but we don't have love, we may be fooling ourselves, but we're not convincing the world around us. And if we understand our gifts in great detail, but we're not willing to match that understanding and giftedness with using our gifts in love, with truly being loving, with acting in love toward those around us in the church and those of us and those outside the church, I'm just telling you, the thing that God puts in us for the work, for the benefit of others around us, unfortunately, ends with us. See, if I could right now, with everything that's happening in our world in the last few years and with everything that's happening in our world recently, I mean, may I just suggest that we need to be men and women from every generation and every race, joining our hands together, bringing our gifts together and offering our love together, because that's really the only way forward. I know in the last few years and in the world recently, like, we've seen that the world is broken and the world is hurting. The world is broken and the world is hurting. And a broken and hurting world needs a gifted and loving church. A church that understands how God has gifted it and how it understands how God has gifted individuals within it. And that operates in love, knows what we're good at, knows how God has gifted us, knows how the abilities that God has placed in our lives, natural and spiritual, knows what we have gifting to do, and then chooses to do it in and with love. It's the only hope the world has, because the only hope we have to bring about the healing that the world needs is when we choose to step forward, bringing our gifts and bringing our love, because it's the only hope we have to show the power and love and grace of God to a world that so desperately needs all of it right now. So, as we close out our series, Spirit People, as we decide to be people who walk in the Spirit, let's figure out our gifts, all of them. Let's receive from God what God wants to give us. Let's receive it with gratitude, not jealousy because we didn't get the gift that someone else got, but let's receive it with gratitude and let's put it to use with the love that God builds in us through the Holy Spirit. Let's put it to use with love to reach the world around us. Let's embrace our gifts with everything that we've got, and let's use them to the best of our ability and with every bit of love that we have, so we can be the church that God has called us to be and is still calling us to be, to change the world, to reach the world with God's love, and to continually point to God's power to change lives through the work of His Son and through the work of His Spirit, because we are Spirit people operating in the gifts of the Spirit, utilizing the love of the love that God has built in us through His Spirit to reach the world around us and do everything He's called us to do and be everything He's called us to be. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for everything that you are to us and everything that you have for us and everything that you've done for us. God, I simply today, I thank you that there is that your Spirit is at work in us. And God, that He works to bring comfort and He works to bring conviction. And God, He works to make us more like Jesus so we can be better at showing Jesus, sharing Jesus with the world around us. And God, I thank you today that He's at work in us through the gifts that he brings, that he brings us abilities that are not natural and are not natural within us, so that we can impact the world around us, so that the world around us sees the Savior who died for all of us. And so, God, I simply pray today that, God, we would be people who are aware of our gifts, or understand the gifts that you've given to us. And God, that we would bring them to you and we bring them to the world because you've placed them in us for the benefit of the world around us. So God, help us to receive them from our gifts from you with gratitude and use them to build the church and to build up the lives of people around us so that they can experience the goodness of God through the goodness of this, through the gifts of the Spirit at work in us. And God, I pray that we would use these gifts in love. God, that we would pay attention as your Spirit continuously causes us to move forward and to live our lives in love and to use our gifts in love and to bring our gifts in love and to serve and to love and to simply be people who are gifted people serving in love everywhere we go within the church and within, in our world. Help us to be people who use our gifts and bring our love. Because that's what you've called us to do, and that's what you've called us to be. So God, help us to be the body of Christ, fully gifted, fully loving. And as we do that, we want to be everything you've called us to be and do everything you've called us to do. Help us to do that, Jesus. We pray this all in your name. Amen.